The people that serve our children and serve in the nursery lately, even if you don't have small children, it would mean a lot to them, right? If just say thank you. Thank you for serving, for giving, and it's a deal. Now, I want y'all to wake up a little bit, just a little bit, because we need to give a hand. I don't know how to the word for that. We need to show appreciation by clapping and saying yes, okay? So you guys got to help me do this. We really, really do appreciate what's happening, okay? So let's give them a big hand, okay? Just come on. Yeah, baby, yeah. Come on, wake up. Yes, come on, it's good. Y'all are giving a hand to yourself, sorry. No, not the worship team, even though we appreciate you guys. Oh, they want us. We're clapping for them. You know, we had a funeral yesterday, right? We served Belinda and her family, and you guys made it possible. You really did. Now, some of you did physically. We're here. Some of you cooked meals. Some of you helped pay for the building that we were able to serve that family with, and thank you so much for that. And then also, it's slipping my mind. We did a funeral, and we did, I can't remember what we did last week. There was something really big last week we did. Oh, House of Faith for Women graduation. Wow, thank you. Wasn't that a big day? And some of you actually stayed, and it was pretty long, but it was amazing. We're seeing lives change. Do you know that we're all in this together? We really are. You didn't know you got a phone call. You got a text this morning at 1 o'clock, did you? From someone that the whole world is crashing in on them. And they don't have anywhere else to look for hope. And y'all got a text this morning at 1 a.m. And you text them back at 5 a.m. I figure if you're going to text me at 1, I'm texting you at 5. So, because you know that everything I do. You make possible. And that we really are. There's a... Guys, you're helping people you may not know, but without you, it doesn't happen. And so that makes it not just you or just me, it makes it we. And so from now on, when I get a text at 1 in the morning, I'm going to forward it to the whole church. That way you can appreciate what you're doing. Because sometimes when people reach the end of the rope, they text you or me or one of you or they call you. And everything you do matters, and it's a big deal. You know, we started talking about this with the House of Faith for Women, and we're looking at Judges chapter 6. I hope you are reading that and studying it and asking God to speak to you, because it's a big, big, big thing. Because, you know, you realize that Jesus, his mom had encounters with angels, and his uncle and aunt did, and his dad, his stepdad, I guess you would call Joseph, he had encounters with angels, but do you know how Jesus found out who he was? He found it, one, through the impact of his mother, because she always remembered what God told her about her son. But you know how he found out who he was? Through the scripture. Through reading, and he memorized at least 5 books, maybe the whole Old Testament. He found out, he looked, when he read the Bible, it wasn't just stories, right? It wasn't just stories. It wasn't just history. He looked for himself when he was reading. You know, when he read about the lamb that was sacrificed whenever Israel escaped from Egypt and got set free, he knew who that lamb was. He said, oh, that's me. And do you realize that Jesus adopted you into his family, that you're seated with him in heaven at the right hand of the Father right now? Do you realize that you're his brother, you're his sister, you're born of the same womb that Jesus was born of because of his choice and his decision and his power? And so the same way Jesus found himself in Scripture, you and I need to look at Scripture and look for ourselves. Look for you. You're all over it. Because Jesus is all over it. And who lives in you? I have an idea. It's Jesus. You and him. His prayer is, God, make me one with them the way we're one. Make them one with me the way you and I are one. You see, when you read Scripture, you need to look for yourself. And you know what? When Jesus said you're his brother, He's challenged you. He challenged you to find you in Scripture. Well, that's blasphemy. No, anything that doesn't agree with him is blasphemy. And he says you're his brother. He says more than that. He says the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is in you. And so we need to start looking for ourselves. When you're studying Gideon, it's not just an Old Testament story. It's not just a story. It's literally the beginning. The story that we find in history becomes our story too. And so I want you to look at this and look at what happened in Judges chapter 6, and you realize that, you know, it is his life in my body. That's what he went away for, was so the Spirit could come and live through you and me. And I know there's a thousand ways to express that, but when you're reading Gideon, as we're reading Gideon, I'm looking for me in those scriptures. I know they're about Jesus. I know they're real about Gideon. I know they are history, but all of history is really his story. And his story is our story. And you can't separate the two. And so I really do want you to look at it that way. I want to challenge you some ways you think. And it says in Judges chapter 6, this gives you the history of Gideon, what was happening there. And you can read all of Judges and catch up. But Israel had gone into the promised land, and it was full of milk and honey. It was amazing. They'd been there for hundreds of years, and something was going on. And God would send judges to them to bring them back into harmony with him. And Gideon was one of the judges. It says this, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land. Those people ruined the crops all the way to Gaza, and they didn't spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts, like thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of these guys would come into Israel, and it was so many they couldn't even count them or their camels, and they invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. You see, no matter what Israel did, they couldn't get ahead. They would plant crops, and these people would come in and sleep in their yards. I mean, they weren't raiding and running, hiding in the night to do it. There were so many of them. Everywhere they looked, there were Midianites, and they would just take what they wanted. And what the Israel worked for, they took. Their crops, their children, their homes. You know, it's like, and we live that way. When we got that call last night in the middle of the night, it was from somebody whose life had become so overwhelming that they couldn't get their head back above water. You know what I mean? Like, no matter what they did, nothing was working. And you and I live in that same place. We do. Those voices in your head, the anxiety that just never leaves you, those thoughts you wrestle with, those addictions and habits, and we live that way. If you ever had chronic pain, you know what that is. To have something that's just like a putting your finger on you, never takes it off of you. This is the way Israel was living. And it was those darn Midianites. Literally, they had become like a plague that they couldn't escape from. And then in verse 7, I love this, what happens here. When the Israelites, when they finally cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet. You see, you all know the truth? Midian wasn't the problem. Wasn't the problem. Midian was the harvest of the problem. You get that? Big difference. Midian's not the problem. And so they cried out to the Lord. And then it says, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you, the Lord said. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians. See, they were being oppressed by Egypt in ways you and I could never imagine. Egypt had the power to come into their homes and kill every little boy they wanted to in front of them on their steps. Had the power to make them work until they died. Had the power to give them food or take away their food. And there was 1 million Israelites in that nation. And the Egyptians were so oppressive, they controlled everything about them. And so the Israelites cried out to the Lord. And he said, I delivered you from that before. You see, the truth is, all of humanity, we were slaves. That's what this is talking about. Before Jesus came, every human born on earth was a slave to the darkness. And without the grace of God and the kindness of God, humanity wouldn't have existed. You see, we were slaves, just like Egypt. Just like all of the Israelites were slaves in Egypt. All of them. We were slaves. And then he says, I drove them out before you. I gave you their land. I said to you, in verse 10, he said, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you haven't listened to me. You see, Jesus set us all free. He set us free. Listen, his resurrection, he said, the very resurrection I was resurrected, the same resurrection's in you. I was in you when I rose from the dead, and you rose from the dead too. You see, when Jesus rose from the dead, he redeemed us, right? He set us free. He took us out of Egypt, out of slavery, and said, you're free. Now, you know what freedom does? We can go back into slavery. You see, the Israelites were free in Israel. They were free in the land of promise. But they began to have a relationship and to seek help and to depend upon the gods of the people around them, and they lost their relationship with the Lord. He didn't cast them out. They walked away from him. And there was a harvest for that. He said, guys, I provided everything for you. I gave you this land to work and to prosper and to grow and to conquer and to bring my kingdom in earth. I gave this all to you, and you chose to walk away from me. You have not listened to me. So, God set us free from the chains of slavery. We can't blame it on the Midianites anymore. They aren't in charge. God said we are. And what happens? By not relying on Jesus in our lives, by not depending upon Him, by not keeping growing in our relationship with Him, we put ourselves back temporarily. Can I say that? Temporarily? Anywhere where I'm separated from the Lord, I temporarily go back into slavery. Because there is going to come an end to it totally. Jesus wins this battle. He owns the land. But temporarily, I could become slave again. But that happens to all of us. And it's going to require something. We have to repent. We have to change the way we think. I think doing things in my own self-effort will make me better. I think that listening to the spirit of fear will protect me from being hurt. I think that putting pressure and making myself strong is what's going to make me prosper in this land. What happened to Jesus? See, when we hit the dead end, when we hit the wall, when we get to that cliff, that place of total destruction, we all turn our faces to Him and say, Lord, save me, and He does. And then pretty quick, we're humans, we go back into doing it our way. Well, it's the only time I have peace is when I take it in my own hands. It's the only time I can rest is when I do it myself. And you know, in our world, in America today, we've got lots of resources that can replace our dependency upon Him. And it's the same thing happens to us. When we do that, we go back into slavery. We were never created to do things on our own. Humanity wasn't created to do things independent of God. And what happens? Self-effort and self-protection leaves us exposed to the power of our enemies. Self-effort and self-protection leaves you unprotected. And it leaves us unable. So here we are. We're walking. We need to cross the lake, and all we have is our own physical abilities, our own thoughts, our own intelligence, our own resources. And so what's the chance of you and I ever walking on the water? It's not. It's not going to happen. You see, we rely on Jesus. It's not our self-effort. We have to die to believing we can do it ourselves without Him. We were created to do everything with Him, right? So dying to self-effort and self-protection creates supernatural internal combustion. It's like a combustion engine. I was talking to Stephen about it today. On those ships in the ocean, they have these huge engines. The motors are 20 feet tall, and they're even bigger now. And they have these huge cylinders that go up and down, and you put air and fuel in there, and it compresses it, and then it explodes. Can you imagine the power in those engines that drive ships across the ocean? You know that same power resides in you every time you give yourself to Him. So now, instead of you just being a hunk of metal, you are an internal combustion engine, and there's a supernatural power ignited in you that turns the world. Or we can do it our way. Or we can live on our own. Or we can try harder, be stronger, put up walls, protect your heart. You protect yourself because you've been hurt. You know, that's where they were at. And now the Israelites are blaming everything. You know what happens when you do that? They blamed God. You aren't protecting us. And God said, you haven't listened to me. Isn't that what happens when once we get in that cycle? We become victims instead of conquerors. We become the conquered. And we blame the army that's conquered us. When the truth is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But somehow, we're Americans. We say we can do all things by pulling up our own boots, pants, whatever. I can't remember. There's a saying. I can't remember what it is right now. But there's a saying like that. Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. That's what we do. We get more stubborn. We go to more self-help seminars. We rely upon our own strength, our own intelligence, our own determination. And the whole time Jesus is saying, come follow me. If you want to have life, do it with me and you'll experience life you've never experienced before. So Gideon was facing the whole nation was being oppressed by the Midianites. And it wasn't the Midianites' problem. They were not the issue. Israel's heart, their relationship with their God was the issue. Now, so he goes on. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress. Because y'all know, you hear the story, it's like, you thresh wheat out on the open where the wind can blow off the chaff and you can collect the seed, the kernels. But the truth is, they were so impoverished that they had to do it in the bottom of a well, a little walled-in thing that they press grapes in. And then the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, and he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." What I'm telling you today is the same word is true for you that the Lord spoke to Gideon. Well, I'm not a mighty warrior. We're not mighty warriors. Look at me. I've got history to prove that I'm a failure. I've got 1,000 facts all in my head of why I'm not. I've been in this rut, and I'm going to never get out of this rut. And the Lord has a word for you. He's with you. And you aren't what you think you are. You see why repentance is so big? Repentance means changing your mind with thinking. Thinking with God. You know how God thinks about you? That's why I really want to emphasize that. I don't care if it's one of us or all of us or who it is. We are in this thing together. And God said that you really are an overcomer. That we all have a purpose. And these devils that are killing our world and killing our families and killing people left and right, we have authority over them. We do. Every one of us, not just one or two. We all do. So the angel of the Lord said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." I love this. And so the angel of the Lord came. Oh, did I skip chapter? There we go. The angel of the Lord came and sat down, and he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Okay, I've caught up. Now Gideon interrupts him. "Pardon me, my Lord." Hey, wait. He overtalks Jesus. Now, Gideon doesn't know this is Jesus at this time. He's about to find out it is Jesus. He just thinks it's just an angel, right? He said, "Wait a second. If the Lord's with us, listen to this accusation, then why has all this happened to us? God, I'm going to eat all the cake and ice cream I want to, and I want to know why in the world am I fat?" Well, I'm going to smoke 3 packs of Cools a day. I don't even know if that's a cigarette brand. I'm going to smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day, and then I'm going to wonder why I have emphysema. That's the way Gideon was. Guys, do you want to know why we aren't free? There's a reason. God wants us to be free, and it's because of our relationship with Him brings freedom. It's what brings life. And so the Lord, he said, "Where are all of his wonders? Why has this all happened to us? What about our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us." Guys, this is how we feel. Well, God's abandoned me. I'm hitting my head on this same wall over and over and over and over again with the same results. And he's abandoned me, or I wouldn't be doing that. Well, you might want to open your eyes. Quit running to the wall. Well, is it that simple? Yeah. He's a good dad. He's good. We just sang so many songs about how good he is. He really is good. He wants me to know where I need to grow. He wants me to know where I'm in bondage to the darkness. He wants me to. He's good. So, the Lord did this again. And he just complains and complains and complains, whines, gripes. And then it says, the Lord turned to him. The Lord turned to Gideon. That means he engaged him face to face. And you know, when you see the Lord in the scriptures, you need to see yourself. Because the Lord lives in you. The Lord turned to him. He said, "Listen, Gideon. Go in the strength you have. His life, my body. His power, and me." He said, "Gideon, you're you. You're right. You're Gideon. But go with me. Go in the strength you have, and you save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" And all of a sudden, everything changed in Gideon. Do you know what Gideon, the name Gideon means, chopper of wood? It was like the lowest class job in Israel. As a matter of fact, that job was reserved for slaves. Like if you were an Israelite, you didn't chop your own wood. And you know, when you have to live off of wood, it's every day, several times a day you're chopping wood. It was the lowest job, and Gideon's name was that. It just represents he was just a normal guy. There wasn't anything special about him. He was just common folk. He was a blue-collar. He was like the ditch digger in the blue-collar world. The guy who has a shovel, he didn't get to drive the bulldozers or the track hose or any of that stuff. He ran the shovel. That's who Gideon was. You know, it's funny. When I look for me in Scripture, I think I'm common too. So do you. I mean, you might have a false pride, and none of us buy it that you really believe that. No, we're normal. None of us are special. We're just people, just like Gideon. You know why they were hiding? Because they'd been stolen from thousands of times. You know why you think we're normal? Because we have history that proves we're normal. I failed and I failed and I failed and I failed and I left and I didn't get promoted and I didn't get recognized. And who gives me a standing ovation? Nobody. You know, that was just like Gideon. But you know what the Lord wants to say to you face to face? And you know the only way you're going to hear this is face to face. You see, the angel that came to Gideon was the Lord. Who did you give your heart to when you decided to follow Jesus? Who came to live inside of you? The same Lord. Holy Spirit, Jesus, and the Father, they're one, right? The Lord lives inside of you. We just don't look at it very much. You know, the truth is, that's why when you look at Scripture, you need to change your attitude. I like to study history. I like all that. It's fun to me. But when I'm reading Scripture, I'm looking for me and you. Jesus has already recognized himself. It's time for you and me to recognize ourselves. He's seated on a throne in heaven right now. That's what Jesus is doing. And he's God, so he can be in both places, right? He's there and he's here. He's seated on a throne waiting for us to make all of his enemies a footstool under his feet. There's a battle. And I just think it's a little funny, but it's not funny. Again, Gideon says, "Excuse me, Lord, I'm listening to you, but I got something to say." Gideon, "Pardon me, my Lord, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." You know, that dude needs to repent, doesn't he? So do you. So do I. We need to repent. We need to change our thinking and think like God thinks. And the Lord answered, and this is the answer. "I will be with you." Game over. When you, him and you, can defeat this battle that we've seemed to have lost thousands of times. No, you and God, you're going to win this battle. And you're going to win it so decisively, you're not going to leave anybody alive. You see, Jesus is calling us to contend with the darkness in this world. We're the ones. Gideon stood against Baal. You know, and what did Jesus say for us? He told us to preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons. We're going to contend with Baals. You were called just like Gideon. I was called just like Gideon to this battle. Now, Gideon was still in process, right? He still doesn't believe, just like us. We're in process. It's okay. Maybe you doubt. Maybe you still struggle with thinking you're not worth the gunpowder it would take to blow your body across the street. I don't know. Maybe you struggle with those same voices in your head and that long, you know, it's like there's this movie that plays over and over again and it's stuck on this loop. And the loop is every failure you've ever done. The loop is every time you've ever been hurt. The loop is every time you invested and you invested and you gave and you gave and somebody came and stole what you earned. And it never goes away. You see, that's the enemy. The truth is, we've been called to something greater. Now, you know what Gideon did? That day, something changed in him. And it changed because he was having a face-to-face with Jesus. It wasn't anymore. And then he said, if I found favor in your eye, give me a sign that it really is you talking to me. Please don't go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. And the Lord said, I'll wait for you. And then Gideon went away and he prepared a young goat and he prepared an ephah of flour and he made bread without yeast. And he put the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot. And he brought them out and offered them to the Lord, to Jesus, under the oak. And you know what happened? It's really cool. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and place them on this rock and then pour out the broth on top of them. So he drenched it, right? Sitting on the rock. And Gideon did so. And the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of the staff that was in his hand. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and bread. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. Then Gideon realized. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. He realized that was God. Do you know what? Every single person in this room has had that same thing happen to you. I mean, not with the offering and the bread and the fire. Think about it. Have you ever experienced the supernatural touch of God in your life? Ever. Now, some of you, God has saved you from death so many times, you can't even remember how many, okay? So every time he saved you, that was God. But you know, have you experienced the voice of God? Have you experienced the touch of God? Have you experienced the comfort of God? Have you experienced a miracle? God, I just need a sign. Just show me a sign what I'm supposed to do. And then a billboard shows up and it says exactly what you prayed for. I mean, every one of you. Somebody stand up and say, I've never experienced the power of God. Go ahead and do it. And then I'm going to challenge you. Because you have. You may not recognize it or you may not remember it, but you have. I've felt his touch so many times I can't remember all of them. You know what? Gideon experienced God. And that sheepish coward who was not going to change anything stood up because he had met God face to face. You know what? God's called you and me to something. And it's okay. We're in the process. It's okay. And you look what the Lord said to him. He said, peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die. I tell you, to go any farther in our lives, we have to deal with fear. Number one way you deal with fear is through peace. Peace is a person. His name's Jesus. Get face to face with him. Well, what good will that do? Oh, try it. It's just like if I could ever get you to try meth, I would have you probably. I mean, not me. I mean, that y'all know what I mean? That meth monster. I'm not doing that. I'm not giving you that stuff. But it'll grab you. I had a good friend of mine when they were young, like 14. They were hurting. Their heart was broken. And they're smart. They really are. Their heart was broken. And somebody said, oh, this can help your broken heart. And they took meth for the first time. I met them when they were an addict. They told me the story. You see, if you touch Jesus, he's so much more powerful than any chemical or synthetic or natural chemical than you'll ever imagine. Peace is where we start. Your journey starts meeting him face to face. The second thing is you need to deal with your fear. And we're going to have to spend some time on this, and I don't want to keep y'all long today. But I'm telling you, in America, the spirit of fear has been given a name, wisdom, intelligence, self-protection. It helps you in all kinds of ways. It's a demonic spirit that has nothing to do with God. The Bible says it's a spirit. Do not be given to the spirit of fear. You see, we need to identify every place in our lives where we are participating with that spirit. And most of the ways it tricks us into participating is by doing something good. And we're going to talk about that next week. It's a big deal. In our world, fear may be the most devastating, powerful spirit we face. Because it controls our choices. It keeps us from trying to follow God. It keeps us away from, I really can't trust God with this because I've got a chemical that'll take care of this problem. And I've got a book that'll take care of this problem. And I can close my heart off and keep everybody away, and that'll take care of that problem. And if I make enough money and acquire enough stuff, then that'll keep me from being destitute, and that'll protect my family. And if I'm just smart enough, I can fix everything. Yeah. Yeah. All driven by the spirit of fear. God says He will be your protector. He will be your provider. God says He'll set you free if from bondage. God will heal our bodies. God will heal our minds. God will control our history and our family and everything in life. God says trust Jesus. Our minds and our society and the world says trust stuff. You see, and it's driven by fear. And so, guys, it's a big deal. But it's okay. It's okay. We're in process. Gideon was in process. And we're going to see the end of his process. And y'all know the story. When Gideon became free, the whole nation got free. You see, but it starts with a man. It starts with a woman. You need to be free. I need to be free. And when I'm free, I can set my world free. You see, we each have a world. We each have a nation that we influence. As a group, we have a nation we influence. But it has to begin right here. I can't let fear control me. Fear is a demon. And he looks pretty, but he's a devil. So I'm excited about this. I really am. Just like I read the end of the story, Gideon, they win the war. And it wasn't just Gideon and his 300 men who fought with him. It was the entire nation of Israel ended up driving the Midianites out of their land. And peace came to Israel. And they started harvesting, enjoying the harvest, the fruit of their harvest and their labor. And they quit losing their sons and daughters. You see, God has a plan for America, and it's called you. You being free sets the nation free. So I'm excited. I'm like, come on, God, let's do it. What's the next step? That's just the first step. The first step, face to face with Jesus. Well, how do you make that happen? You put yourself in His way. Go where He goes. Do what He does. Make yourself have encounters with Him. And you'll find yourself changing. You'll find you changing on the inside. Get in His way. Read Scripture. Study. Pray. Spend time with people. Serve. Whatever you need to do to get in face-to-face encounters with Jesus. You know what Gideon did was they got in such a trouble that they had no other way to survive but Jesus. You know that person that texted me this morning at 1 o'clock? Their back is against a wall. If they don't find Jesus, they're not going to make it. That's a good place to be. I wasn't worried about them at all because now I know where they are. Now they want Jesus. They've been trying other stuff since they were young. It doesn't work. They're living in a little shack with no electricity and no water, no heat, no car, no job, no friends, no family. They're at the very end of the rope. Well, Jesus can take that life and turn it around. They're only 40 years old. They're young. Jesus can turn them around. So I'm glad you guys are with me in this. I'm glad that we're all going to face our demons. And we're going to face fear. And when it's all said and done, Jesus is going to win a war through you, through me. So I'm excited about it. So y'all keep studying that. Read Judges and start, when you read your Bible, look for you in it. Because Jesus died to set you free so you could be his brother. You could be his sister. That's why he came to earth, right? So let's all stand up. It's time to go. We have gone. I don't know if you got to take communion yet today, but it's over there. And the focus of communion today is love. It's a pretty good focus. Also, I really would have liked to, you can take communion whenever you want to. I really would have liked to finish Gideon today because the end is really good. But I know we need to spend some time on fear. So next Sunday, we're going to deal with fear, that spirit. Matter of fact, bring that demon with you to church next week, if you don't mind. And I'm not talking about your spouse or your brother, your own personal one. He's devastatingly powerful in our world. Or if you know somebody who's dealing with anxiety and worry and fretting on a deep level, bring them. Jesus will set them free. That spirit has already lost. Now we just need to enforce it. So this morning, we have teams up here that would love to pray with you. Maybe there's something in your heart and you need help with it. You don't have to deal, you don't have to take that, you don't have to take fear and anxiety and worry and fretting. You don't have to take that home with you today. We would love to pray with you. And Jesus will set you free. Or maybe you're like Israel. Israel somehow had got themselves dug in a hole they couldn't get out of. Without a miracle, they were done. What a great place to be. If you need a miracle today, we're here to pray with you. Jesus will set you free. He will set you free. So, Father, I just thank you that we're all in this together and that we all have a part to play. But, God, first we have to be free ourselves. So, God, I ask that as a church, everyone that's a part of Grace Fellowship, Lord, that this week, God, you'd expose areas in our lives where we're participating and allowing that spirit of fear to interfere with our lives. Just like Gideon, God, we don't believe who we are. We don't believe who you say we are. And we got proof. God, I ask that you would expose that this week. Right now, Lord, I just ask that you would begin to speak to us. I don't think you're here today by accident. This wasn't just chance. Jesus is wanting to meet you face to face today. So God, I ask you to give us courage to come and meet you, that nobody would leave today without meeting you, without giving you their heart, their life, without turning the keys to our car over to you, God. So this morning, if that's you, when we dismiss, I just invite you to come up and we'll pray with you. We have a lot of people that can pray with you and we'd love to, okay? So God, thank you for today. Thank you for this last week, for the House of Faith for Women, God, that had graduation last Sunday, for the funeral that we were honored to serve at this week. God, I thank you for the people serving our children, the ushers, the worship team. Lord, everyone who's a part of this family. And God, we just say yes to you today. We say yes. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for being here.